Tonight, we're going to discuss a verse from the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text 21. Here is the famous verse where Lord Krishna presents the need for truly great persons in society, and what happens when there are truly great persons. Now, I know so many of you will never think that you are a great person. But in Krishna consciousness, everyone becomes great, although they think they are very tiny and small. You all have the opportunity to do extraordinary things for yourself, for your family, for your society. But you cannot do those things from the material point of view. Materialists consider mahajans, great persons, to be those who are leaders in finance, in politics. Our mahajans are different. Our great persons are different. And Krishna consciousness is an opportunity for all of you to become truly great. And in this way, you will benefit yourself and others. Simply, we have to change our vision, change our thinking, and change our hearts. Then the dormant greatness in you will be ignited. That is the purpose of this great facility here, to ignite the greatness in the character, in the heart. And that greatness will affect the whole world. In order for there to be true greatness, there must be spiritual education. Spiritual education can transform anyone from being completely useless to being the most productive human being. To be the most productive human being doesn't mean manufacturing. It doesn't mean working hard, making a lot of money. To be the most productive human being means you are in touch with your real self, and you can help others to be in touch with their real self. Who is the self of the self? That is Krishna. As explained in Bhagavatam, 10th canto, why is it that you are attracted to your body? Attraction and attachment for your body is because the soul is present in the body. When the soul leaves the body, then you no longer care for the body. You burn the body, you bury it in the ground, or animals come and eat it. Only because the soul is in the body does the body have value. So you're actually attracted to the soul. But Krishna is the soul of the soul. Therefore, the reason why you are attracted to the spirit soul is because Krishna is at the core of the soul. Krishna is the self of the self. So ultimately, all attraction can be explained in terms of Krishna. When you can do this, then you truly become great, and you can help others to become great. Let us hear from Lord Krishna, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Yad yad acharati shreshtas tat tat evetaro janat sayat pramanam kurute lokastad anuvartate. Whatever actions a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Purport. People in general always require a leader who can teach the public by practical behavior. A leader cannot teach the public to stop smoking if he himself smokes. Lord Chaitanya said that a teacher should behave properly before he begins teaching. One who teaches in that way is called Acharya, or the ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of Shastra, scripture, to teach the common man. The teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of revealed scriptures. The revealed scriptures, like Manusamhita and similar others, are considered the standard books to be followed by human society. Thus, the leader's teaching should be based on the principles of such standard shastras. One who desires to improve himself must follow the standard rules as they are practiced by the great teachers. The Srimad Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of great devotees, and that is the way of progress on the path of spiritual realization. The king, or the executive head of state, the father, and the school teacher are all considered to be natural leaders of the innocent people in general. All such natural leaders have a great responsibility to their dependents. Therefore, they must be conversant with standard books of moral and spiritual codes. Om Jnanatirmanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Manitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityanandasya Dvaita Gadara Shiva Sri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. One who desires to improve himself. I know that all of you here desire to improve yourself. But what is that improvement you want? Is it financial improvement? Is it physical improvement? What is the real improvement that we should be striving for? In order to understand who is truly great, we must know what real improvement is. Real improvement is the purification of the heart and the revival of our relationship with Krishna. Otherwise, you cannot improve this material world. You stop one problem, and then another problem comes. But you call that progress, that I shifted the problem from this shoulder to that shoulder. Therefore, we have made progress. No. Real progress cannot be had on the material platform. If you're going to improve your life, first you must understand this point. There is no such thing as material progress. Any material advancement simultaneously causes a material problem. So you may say, 100 years ago, people did not have the things we have now. But also, 100 years ago, the people did not have the problems brought about by the things you have now. So this is the nature of material existence. You cannot have so-called progress without so-called problems. That is very frustrating. Since that is so, the intelligent person thinks, why should I be caught up trying to make progress when the so-called progress will simply generate a different set of problems? Let the material world go on in its way. I will focus on true greatness, my spiritual perfection. Whether you do this or that to material existence, one thing is for sure, isn't it? It will go on. Therefore, you should use your energies for some other purpose. Now, Krishna consciousness is not about neglecting your health, neglecting your family. It's simply putting things in the proper perspective. Just like I have this sweater. It is material, But should I ignore it and not take proper care of it? It has a purpose, so I take care of it. But I understand the sweater is not me. It's not the most important thing in my life. Similarly, you may have your material duties, but they are not the most important thing in your life, and they don't show progress. We have to learn how to define our progress in terms of our Krishna consciousness development. Then we can truly start to understand what is greatness. Now I know so many of you, you're humble. You're thinking, oh, how can I ever be great? Greatness begins by being able to control your senses. Where is that institution that is teaching you how to control your mind and senses? Unless we are accustomed to mind and sense control, there'll never be any greatness. Therefore, the first thing we must do in spiritual life is to control our mind and senses. And how is that done? It's easily done when you engage your mind and senses in Krishna's service. Therefore, someone who is actually progressive, someone who actually wants to improve the life, they look to Krishna's service for engagement. We want more than religious belief. We don't simply want to believe in the demigods, believe in Krishna. We want to serve Krishna. Now, the material energy, the external energy of a Lord, makes its demands. Why not follow the demands of the internal potency? This is the symptom of the truly great person. As Krishna himself explains in Bhagavad Gita, yajaracharati, mahatmanas tumam partha daivim prakritim ashrita. Someone who is actually the great soul, the mahatma, what is their symptom? They have taken shelter of the divine potency, the spiritual energy of the Lord. That is the greatest career adjustment you can make. That you take shelter of the spiritual energy of the Lord. Then you'll become dynamic. Then your life will truly be progressive. So each one of you has to decide what is your direction you're going. What is your goal? What does this world have to offer to you? And what does Krishna have to offer to you? Lord Krishna has nothing to offer you except his service. And that service is the greatest gift. Indeed, by devotional service, you can understand Krishna. Actually, you can conquer Krishna through devotional service. Therefore, someone who is actually progressive wants the devotional service of the Lord. We hope that this building here will be a great action central for the devotional service of the Lord. And that there will be so many service opportunities for everyone. And in that way, each person will have a chance to be great. We want the opportunity for greatness to be distributed amongst everyone. Everyone can become a Mahatma through devotional service. Mahatmanas tumam partha daivim prakritim ashrita. You cannot become great just by birth. No. You must become great by your activities and qualities. In order to be great by your activities and qualities, you require guidance, you require training. Then your life has value. Therefore, at this very ambitious project here, you have the structure for how to make your life great. Simply, we must apply ourselves with our devotional efforts to fill in the structure. Then, when you realize your greatness, so many people will be attracted to join you. But they have to see it first, and you have to show them. Don't simply think, well, that's not my job, that's the other one's job. You do it. You do it. No, each one of you can become great through devotional service. Otherwise, what future do we have in this dense, dark Kali Yuga? If you become great in terms of money or power, will that satisfy your heart? No. You'll always be tortured by lust, anger, and greed, and therefore you'll have no peace. Sometimes I tell the story that there was one, this is a true story, there was a person I met who was, he had the job of being a captain for yachts for very rich people, multimillionaires, billionaires. He would captain their yacht all over the world. And so this time he had a job captaining the yacht for a wealthy Arab oilman. So the multi-million dollar yacht was parked in the harbor, some harbor in Italy. And then suddenly the yacht owner called the captain and started yelling at him. I told you never to do this. Don't you remember? I told you this must never happen. I'm ready to sack you. I'm ready to fire you. What did I tell you must never happen? I told you that when my yacht is parked in the harbor here, there should be no other yachts around. Only my yacht. Now, what do you see over there? You see another yacht nearby. I'm going to sack you for this. So what did the captain say? Excuse me, sir, if you don't mind. Let me remind you. The other yacht, you also own that.
I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Immediately, he called for his servant. Bring me that extra Rolex watch that I had lying around in my cabin. And the servant brought the Rolex watch, and the rich person just, here, take that, I'm sorry. Just see, you have so much, and yet you're so envious and angry. There should be no other yachts parked next to mine. And you have so much money, you forget you also own the other yacht too. Never think that an increase in wealth will make you happy. No, it will not. Your heart is dirty, and that dirtiness in your heart causes pain. The pain of lust, anger, and greed never lets you be peaceful. In the USA, they have lotteries. And sometimes the prize in the lotteries is as much as $300 million. So, I know so many cases of people who have won these huge lotteries, and then their whole life becomes miserable. So miserable that they say, I wish I had never won this money. Can you believe that? How many of you think if you won the lottery, for $300 million U.S. dollars, would you ever come to the conclusion of saying, I wish it never happened to me? No, you all, I know what you all are thinking. Oh, I would use the money very nicely, give it to my family, grandparents, in-laws, my send it to my father's village. No problem. You'll understand. What happens when you have a lot of money? You have no real friends. Because everyone is trying to relate to you just to get your money. And that's what these persons found out. They had not one true friend. They couldn't look one so-called friend in the eye and think, this person is not after my money. And therefore they became so miserable. Even their children had to go through this misery. One daughter of a man who won $325 million, she just overdosed with drugs when she was 16. She was so miserable. She had no friends who were for real. Everyone was her friend because they wanted money. She finally just overdosed on drugs at the age of 16. Another man, he won $100 million. He was a hard-working man all his life, always struggling to pay the bills. And then he won $100 million in the lottery. And he spent the money on his family, on his friends. He became so miserable because so many people were wanting to be with him just because of his money. One day, he just went into his bedroom, took off his shirt, took a shotgun, put it to his chest, and pressed the trigger. He was so miserable. So this should make you think, where is the happiness that wealth is supposed to bring? You should think about that. How much do you need to be happy? Actually, the money doesn't make you happy. It's the peace of mind that makes you happy. You need enough to keep your body together. Beyond that, your career goal should be your peace of mind. Peace of mind comes from purity. Unless the mind is absorbed in Krishna's service, it will never be peaceful. So you have two choices in your life. Do you want your mind to be captured by the material energy, or do you want your mind to be captured by the spiritual energy? You take your choice. Krishna is playing his flute to capture your mind. And Maya is offering you so many temporary things to capture your mind. You make your choice. How do you make your choice? It all depends on what is important in your life. If Krishna is important in your life, then you will fill your life with Krishna conscious activities. And if material gain, material improvement is important in your life, you'll fill your life with activities for material gain. So you decide which way your life is going. It is your responsibility. Therefore, we need truly great persons to show what is the actual standard. And that is your job. Yajidacharati Shrestha. You want to actually be Shrestha, great in Krishna's eyes through humble devotional service. The more that Krishna is in the center of your family, the more your family has a chance for true greatness. But until we learn how to be the master of our mind and senses, we have no chance for greatness. Now, listen to all this going on in the background. They are hoping, by all this sound, all this passion, what will happen? What is the point? What are they hoping? Huh? They're hoping by all this music, there'll be happiness, yes? Come enjoy, come enjoy. It'll be great. No. All that work they're doing, it will not create greatness. True greatness comes through devotional service. Now, right now, we have a situation I see all over India. India is at the crossroads. People are going one way or the other. Some people are becoming more spiritual, and some people are becoming more materialistic. The middle is reducing, and people are going one side or the other. Now, it's up to you to be the leaders of the people to take them to the spiritual side. This is the work that Lord Chaitanya has given you. Don't think, oh, that is not for me. I'll follow someone else. Yes, we're all following, but we also have to lead. How do you lead while you're following? By setting the proper example. So you all have the potency to do so much for others simply by demonstrating how to live a Krishna conscious lifestyle. This is more than religious belief. This is dynamic activity for the pleasure of the Lord. That is the only thing that will fulfill your heart. You may be a university student, you may be a high school student, or you may be older, you have your job, you have your career. But what is going to satisfy your heart? Only Krishna's service. That is the point. Once you understand that, then you'll be peaceful. Without peace, there cannot be happiness. And peace can only be found in Krishna's service. Therefore, our true quest in life is to find devotional service. And then when you do it, others will follow. We need to honestly analyze what is our aspiration, what is our goal in life. What do we want to sacrifice for? And then we should apply our energies in that way. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is asking, give all the energies you have, give all the resources to me. Why to Krishna? Because they belong to Krishna. You're giving to Krishna what belongs to him, yet you get credit for it. Isn't that amazing? Nothing belongs to you. It belongs to Krishna. But if you give it to Krishna, you get credit. Now, what could be a better system than that? What is a better business, if you want to call it business? You give to someone what belongs to that person, and then you get credit. So even from the business point of view, better to serve Krishna. Of course, a real devotee is serving Krishna because of love. In order to love Krishna, you need to understand Krishna. Understanding Krishna in truth purifies your heart. Because when you actually try to understand Krishna's activities and Krishna's qualities, you'll be forced to accept that Krishna is the enjoyer. And that means we are not the enjoyer. This problem is what India has to deal with right now. The whole Western dream that we are the enjoyers has now come here in full force. Soon you'll see people forgetting their families, forgetting morality, forgetting honesty, cleanliness, mercy, forgetting everything, and simply thinking we are the enjoyers. That fever is increasing more and more. Right now you may think it's kind of nice. Yes, we're becoming more open. We're becoming more uncontrolled with our senses. It seems to be a novel experience, something new. But soon you will see the lamentation. Soon you will see the misery that sinful activity causes. Right now there's still the stage of fascination, curiosity. Oh, look at this. Look how interestingly degraded our television has become. We see things on television now we never would see 5-10 years ago. Now we are advancing. Look at the movies. Every year they become a little bit more degraded. This is very interesting. This is exciting. New frontiers. No, it is not a new frontier. You are getting what has already been chewed up and spit out in the West. Now they're exporting it to India. Now you take it. We have chewed and chewed and chewed. There's no taste. Our people are crazy. They're all nuts. We send it to you. You please chew. This is Prahlad Maharaj's words. Puna Charvananam. Prahlad Maharaj says, material pleasure means taking that which has been chewed thoroughly, and then you chew it and try to get some flavor. According to doctors, you should chew every mouthful 30 times before you swallow it. How many of you do that? 30 times each mouthful. Anyone? No. But, huh?
We don't have time.
No time. Too busy making progress. You cannot chew your food properly. So, according to medical doctors, you should chew each mouthful 30 times. Suppose, according to Prahlad Maharaj's teaching, after you chew something 30 times, and then you take it out of your mouth and you hand it to someone else and say, you please get some flavor from this. Horrible. Who would do such a thing? But that is what is happening in the world today. What has been chewed and chewed and chewed and there's no flavor left in the West now is exported to India. You live like us. You become wild like us. You taste what we have tasted. But there's no taste there. Therefore, we need, especially the young people of India, to become truly great. Great in knowledge. Great in lifestyle. That is what Krishna is urging you in Bhagavad Gita. What is the use of making yourself into a stressed out wreck? I just saw statistics from Australia. 50% of the people in Australia who work say that their job is killing them. It's taking all their energy. 50%. And now everything is becoming more competitive because so many jobs are outsourced to India. So now they can squeeze the people in Australia even more. You want to keep your job, you work twice as hard. Otherwise, we send your job overseas to the call centers in India. More pressure, more pressure. So now in India, of course, everyone's thinking, oh, so many jobs now. We're just a young person. I can get a job in a call center and make money and like that. There'll always be a problem. There is no free gifts from Maya. There's always the kick in the face that comes soon. one devotee in Melbourne, Australia, he's working for IBM, and he told me from the USA they flew a big managemental guru for IBM, and he was addressing hundreds of IT people who worked for IBM in Australia, and he would walk up and down the rows looking them in the eyes. What was he saying? What kind of people do we want for this business? I want to know how many of you, as soon as you open your eyes when you wake up, you think of your job. Those are the kind of persons we want. Are you like that? Are you like that? Tell me, as soon as you wake up, when you open your eyes, do you think of your job? That's the kind of person we want. So, the nature of material existence is that the pressure always increases. It's entangling. Entangling means things always happen that you didn't expect. You stick one foot in, and then you're dragged deeper and deeper. This is the problem. How do you want your life to be? Do you want to see your families destroyed, your personal character destroyed, your peace destroyed? Is that what you want? Now, in many countries, they are changing the traditional marriage vows. In Christian countries, for those few who still choose to get married, now mostly everyone lives together, they would take a traditional vow. We will stay together through sickness and health, through poverty and wealth, till death do us part. That was the traditional marriage vow in Christian countries. Now they are changing it because people are thinking, why should we tell these lies? So they change the marriage vows, and they just say, we will stay together as long as the love lasts. One Hollywood star, she just had a big wedding with another Hollywood star, and she made up her own marriage vows. She just changed things a bit, and she said, I promise to love you, but not to obey you. That was the marriage vow. So, is this the advancement you want? Everything becomes so disturbed because people are simply thinking how to please me and my senses. That's it. That's the only goal in life. So the family becomes destroyed. Your work becomes so stressful, you become destroyed. This is progress. Better to live a simple life and advance in Krishna consciousness. If you have wealth, okay, use it for serving Krishna. If you don't have wealth, then keep your minimum bodily maintenance, save time for chanting Hare Krishna. That is the intelligent way to live. So please don't ruin your life by being captured by the global maya that is so powerful these days. Try to understand the misery that that maya brings. Try to understand the suffering. How people have no peace anymore. How they have no time anymore. The amazing thing is that both the capitalists and the communists promise, take to our system, there'll be more leisure time. They both promised that. Neither of them delivered it. All the economic philosophies were telling people, take this philosophy of economics, you'll have more time, leisure time. Instead, you see the reverse. People have less and less time than ever before. Even though in their homes there are so many so-called time-saving machines. You notice that? Everyone's home now is filled with time-saving machines and time-saving gadgets, but no one has any time. What's going on? Your grandparents had so much more time than you do. You know that, don't you? But you feel, oh, things are better now, we have advanced. We have so many time-saving gadgets, but no one has any time. You know it, but then you're thinking, I cannot live like my grandparents lived. It's too simple. I'm aware of so many possibilities. I cannot go backwards in time. All right. Add Krishna to your life. Let Krishna take over as the main thing in your life, and automatically your schedule will be balanced. We don't ask that you go back to the way people were living one century ago. We do ask that you add Krishna to your life in a very powerful way, and then automatically your life will balance and you'll be able to make the right decisions because Krishna is so strong in your life. Now, if you start to do this when you are young, it's much easier. So those of you who are in your teens or in your 20s, you have an easier time. Still, you can become Krishna conscious at any stage of life. It's just easier when you're in your 20s, when you're in your teens. So many of you are in the young phase of your life. Now you can make such important changes that will be for the benefit of your whole life. Think about it very seriously. This is what Krishna is trying to get you to do in Bhagavad Gita. He's motivating you. Become truly great so that others can learn by your example. Whatever standards that you set, everyone will take notice of. Just like here in this temple construction site, everyone will watch. Oh, such a big, nice building. Now, what are you going to do? You've called such attention to yourself as servants of Krishna. Mainly you're calling attention to the deity. But as servants of the Lord, you're also calling attention to yourself. So people are going to watch. What are you doing with yourselves? How are you different? I saw one of your temple brochures. On the front it said something. What makes them different? Or what is? Yeah. We are different. Now, how are you different? Are you different only because you believe in Krishna? Krishna doesn't ask for your belief in Bhagavad Gita. How many of you have seen that verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, just believe in me? Has anyone seen that verse? No, it is not there. Krishna asks for action. He asks that with your senses you serve his senses. Suppose, let us say you are a married man, married woman, you say to your spouse, I believe in you. And that is the extent of the relationship? I believe in you. No, there has to be active exchange of service. Then the relationship has life. So similarly, if we're actually Krishna conscious, there must be devotional service. That is the difference. Not that, well, I believe in Krishna. Who do you believe in? That's not really a difference. We are practicing Sanatana Dharma, the eternal essence of the living entity, which is devotional service. That is the different thing. We are happy to be different in that way. I remember during the time when Srila Prabhupada was personally present, there was a very popular psychology book, bestseller in the USA. The title was, I'm Okay, You're Okay. So, in a lecture, Prabhupada was mentioning this book. He said, that is not our philosophy. Our philosophy is, we are okay, you are not okay. So I like very much seeing your brochure, We Are Different. But how are you different? You have to be able to show the difference. The difference is the greatness. The greatness comes from engagement in devotional service. The more that this devotional community becomes alive in devotional service, the more everyone will see they are different. So, tonight, please allow me to humbly beg that you take Krishna's instructions very deeply and apply them in your life. Don't be caught up in the stressed out lifestyles of today. Decide how much you need to live and keep your life peaceful. Don't become stressed out, so mentally disturbed that you can't even think straight. Save time for your becoming Krishna conscious. Now, I admit it's going to be difficult unless you take shelter of the association of devotees, because there's so much pressure in the world today. You should compete. You should push ahead. You should get more things. How does materialistic society work? It creates a perpetual, endless dissatisfaction in you that you're never satisfied with what you have. Think about it. From the materialistic point of view, you should never be content with what you have. You always have to get something else, something more. And your life is successful if you're constantly getting more and more. This is the civilization of the demons, the asuras. A devotional civilization means I just need a simple standard of living. I want to save time for becoming Krishna conscious. Let me be content with what I have. Let me not use my whole life to strive for material gain. Now, if somehow or other you are blessed with material gain, then you use it for Krishna's service. If you have the ability to gather so many material resources, okay, go ahead, but you use it for Krishna's pleasure. If you don't have that ability, don't lament. Live a simple life, chant Hare Krishna, try to understand Krishna. This is real civilization we are talking about. The kind of civilization that is led by truly great persons. You all have that potential. Simply, education is required. Training is required. Culture is required. We are advocating the global culture of how to live simply in Krishna consciousness. How to save time for advancing in devotional service. We don't want our lives to become so stressed. We don't want the children growing up in such a stressed world. We want to show another example how your life can be rich in devotional service. Just like when I arrived here tonight, There was a nice kirtan happening, and so many young men were jumping. So immediately when I saw it, I thought, this is real wealth. You cannot buy this. The real wealth is generated from the devotee's heart, just jumping, chanting, and dancing. I was thinking as I came, the richest persons in the world cannot have such pleasure. They don't choose it. Just like the third richest person in the world. He used to be number two. Now he's number three. I read where he's saying, I am worth $13 billion. I'm so happy. I can have anything I want. Why airplanes? I can have a whole airport. Why a yacht? I can have a whole harbor. I'm so happy. I recommend this to everyone. I'm worth $13 billion. Now you might think, oh, amazing. This is truly a great person. But do you know about the personal life of this person? He's so lonely. And what upsets him the most? When persons glorify the second richest person in the world. He can't tolerate it. Why are they always talking about him? What about me? He's angry as soon as they talk about Bill Gates. He gets upset. Wait, what about me? Now you'll say, I know what you'll all say. If you had $13 billion, you'd be satisfied, right? Right? That's the illusion. No, there is no satisfaction in Maya. As soon as you get more, you think, I need more. So he's worth $13 billion. He can't be satisfied. He gets angry every time the person who's richer than him is glorified. He loses his temper. He just gets angry. This is Maya. There's only one solution for dealing with Maya. You have to get out of it. That's the only solution. Otherwise, there's no peace. So, we want to educate people in these sacred truths. And we hope that your center here will play a great role in giving people actual human civilization. Not the stressed out artificial version of civilization that is covering the world today. All right. Are there any questions? Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that for a respectable man, infamy is worse than death. Then in the 12th chapter, he asks us to be equal in fame and infamy. How is a devotee supposed to react in a social situation when things are totally adverse for him and people are gossiping? What does the devotee do? Take it, leave it, or react and try to clarify and confront? Please enlighten. Well, first of all, there are three things in this verse that have to be in this question that have to be separated. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that for one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. He's speaking to Arjuna like this. Arjuna's a Kshatriya. This is Kshatriya talk. Krishna is motivating Arjuna not only with spiritual arguments of pure devotion, but also material Varnashram Dharma arguments. So when Krishna tells Arjuna, for one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death, this is Kshatriya motivation. It is not pure devotional motivation. In pure devotion, we don't care about honor or dishonor, we just care about Krishna's pleasure. That's what the gopis told Krishna. We don't care about our dishonor, we just care about serving you. But when Krishna says in the Gita, for one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death, he's just giving a Varnashram Dharma argument to Arjuna, not a pure devotional argument. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is not only teaching pure devotion, but he's also teaching Varnashram Dharma as a gradual step toward pure devotion. How is a devotee supposed to react in a social situation when things are totally averse and people are gossiping? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says that if I see a fault in you, it is only because I have the fault much more in me, and I'm the world's expert in the fault. Therefore, I can see it in you. That's always a good attitude to have. I'm able to see this fault in you because it's so much more in me. Looked at another way, to stay in the society of devotees, sometimes you have to be tolerant. We tolerate because of our desire to please Krishna, please Srila Prabhupada, please our spiritual master. Sometimes you have to tolerate. You tolerate when you care for someone. Because we care for Krishna, because we care for our spiritual master, we tolerate these impurities that are around us, and also we have to tolerate the impurities that are in us. So, we should know that sometimes in the society of devotees there is some tumult, there is some misunderstanding. But we go on with our service. In time, you always see these things are cleared up. The main thing is you're focused on how to please Krishna. And then you'll see Krishna will reciprocate with that sincere desire. So, does the devotee take it, leave it, or react and try to clarify and confront? How do you confront? Why did you say this about me? Prabhu! I heard that you said this about me, Prabhu! Right? We forget that Prabhu means master. Did you hear what that Prabhu said about me? Yes, there should be communication, but there also has to be the understanding that there'll always be some miscommunication going on, so you have to react very gently. You can have this attitude. Prabhu, you said such and such a thing. I don't think it's correct. I have other faults, but not that one. So please help me by finding the real faults. I'm not innocent. I have other faults. We know that we have to bear all the results of our previous birth karma. What is very special if we surrender to Krishna in this birth? Well, you know, Krishna promises you in Bhagavad Gita, he will take care of your past karma. Yes, you should be afraid of all those sinful activities you did and their reactions. What are you going to do about it? an intelligent person thinks in that way. But Krishna says, Masucha, don't worry, I'll take care of it. That is Krishna's promise in Bhagavad Gita. Although we chant daily, we are taking part in all temple activities and hear lectures, but still we are much attached to material progress. Why? If you take part in all the temple activities daily and are chanting daily, you will see gradually that the spiritual reality becomes known to you. Gradually. You must be patient. You will see the result. By hearing the science of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, you lose your passion for material enjoyment. Gradually you'll see this. Be patient. Rupa Goswami says, Utsaha Nishcha Daya. Enthusiasm, patience, and determination. Isn't there a way in which I can have the best of both the worlds, material and spiritual? What is the best of the material world? Who can say? When you think of Maya, what's the best of Maya? Enjoying what? Hard work and stress? What is it that you enjoy? A fine taste of food. That reminds me of something Srila Prabhupada said. He said, the happiness of Indian family life is eating. Yes, that is civilization. About once Srila Prabhupada to his Western disciples, he said with practically tears in his eyes, I'm so sorry you do not know what is family. This is advancement. So, yes, you can have the best food in Krishna consciousness, offer it to Krishna with love and devotion, then you can have the best. You can have the best family life in Krishna consciousness. Take Krishna and add it to everything, then it's the best. That's how to have the best of everything. Add Krishna to it. You said that normal people follow great people. How do we become great while being engulfed in this material world? You must always keep yourself above the floodwaters of Maya by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and associating with others who are chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Then you'll be safe. That's why you're making this big center here, so you can become safe from the material energy. So you can come together with other devotees and chant the holy name and dance, take prasad, then you're safe. Otherwise, why are we going through such trouble to make such a big project here? It's so that you can be safe. You'll be safe, and then you can become great and teach others how to be great. So thank you very much for coming tonight. We look forward to seeing further progress in your temple development here. Hare Krishna, all glories to the Brahman.